let's stand. That he would leave his place on high and come for sinful men to die. You count it strange, so what did I? Before I knew my Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He loves, my God, He is, my God is always gonna be. I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at His right hand stands one who is my Savior. Lord God, You have sent us our Savior. Jesus, we just looked up to You. We love You. We worship You. And thank You. Thank You for bringing us here today. Lord God, just bless our time together. Bless Dave as he goes through his message, and help us just learn a little bit more about You and love a little bit more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Here I am again. I wasn't planning on being here because we're expecting Bill to be back, but as we know, he came sick on Thursday evening, and we're now praying that the Lord will help him get over his sickness. So, I was thinking about this. We got a call Friday morning that Patrick could do the music. Kevin was there to help him out there, and then myself to do the teaching. So since I've done the teaching last week, then I was thinking about this and said, we hear all right or not? Say that again.
Yes.
No. In the back. Is it better now? Can you hear? So sometimes the Lord makes it so He says, Dave, you weren't quite finished last week, and I want you to continue for another week. And so after praying about that, I said, okay, Lord, what would You have me do? Where would You like me to go with what we studied? So let's just review a little bit about what we learned last week. First, we know that tragedy happens to each one of us. All different kinds of people, rich, poor, healthy, sick, believers, non-believers, it doesn't make any difference. Tragedy happens to all mankind. Second, we learn that they are a test from God. God is testing humanity to see if they will turn back to Him, to call upon Him and His name in their tragedy or whatever is going on in their life. And He uses this to know that His humanity will turn back to Him, their Creator. What was the first thing that Adam and Eve did when they sinned? We turn to Genesis 3:8. Genesis 3:8. And we read here, and this is after they've sinned, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Wow, they hid themselves. obviously you can't hide from God. God is everywhere and at all times and all places. But man knows when he has done wrong that he wants to hide from the one that would judge him. And so we look at that and we say, what is it that we do when we realize that we sinned? When we've done something wrong, we want to hide from the one that would judge us, who is God Almighty. We try to hide it from others. We make excuses or simply hope that no one knows what we have done. It's good to remember that God does know all things and we cannot hide it from Him. Remember last week when we studied Ecclesiastes 12:14. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. God knows everything. You cannot hide from God, no matter how much we try. We try to run away. We try to make an excuse. We try to do whatever it takes to hide from the sin that we've caused. It does make a difference how serious the sin is. It could be a small lie, a little bit here, a little bit there. I mean, what difference does that make to anybody? But it could be a major sin, like a murder, or something sexual, or something other that is a major, major sin. The Catholic Church has two directions that they go with it. One is called a cardinal sin. And that's the one that if you commit murder, then you will not be gone and going into heaven. And they have venial sins, which are minor sins that can be forgiven after penance. We in the Protestant Church have kind of the same thing, but not exactly. We don't have a purgatory, but we believe that all sins can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? But in the church, we will make a judgment if someone continues to sin and they can be excommunicated from the church, from the body, from infecting the body from continual sin. We will not allow continual sin to be here, though we do make that exception. We don't do it to cause their salvation to be lost, but we do it to bring them back into the fold and back into a loving environment with people that care for them. In the Old Testament, you can find many different examples of sins. In the case of Adam and Eve, God judged them immediately by cursing the land and bringing death. And that's in Genesis 3:14-19. We know that they hid themselves, yet when God confronted them, Satan was there also. He cursed Satan. He cursed the woman with pain in childbirth, and he cursed the man with having to work for the rest of his life for the few food that he ate until he returned to the dust of the earth, which where he was created from. People forget that sometimes, that he says he will return to the earth. That was the death sentence that God had given mankind right when they sinned. God judges the world because sin and destroys what is created by the flood and only saves Noah and his family. Mankind had gotten so bad on the earth. They didn't revere God. They didn't worship God. They didn't turn to God and repent of their sins. No, they got worse and worse and worse. And at a certain point, and this is only in chapter 6 of Genesis, I mean, way in the beginning of the scriptures, that we find out that the mankind had destroyed everything that God had created. And God said, I will destroy you, but I will save a righteous man and his family, Noah, his wife, two sons and their wives. And so we know the three sons and his wives. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And they went through this, the flood, and God saved them. And everybody else was destroyed. Now God starts the creation over again with Noah and his three sons. But as soon as they get out of the ark, no, hardly any time at all, and one of Noah's sons sins again. And that would be Ham. He sins against his father, and he is cursed, not himself, but through his son Canaan. And the land of Canaan now has a curse on it. The land of Canaan, of course, we know as Israel today. That's the land of Canaan. All that Middle Eastern part of the world is called the land of Canaan originally. Now it's split up into all different types of countries. But so after Ham and what happened to Noah and everything else, then we have the Tower of Babel. So mankind is spreading again, and now we have the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel, we see again how man has sinned, because in the Tower of Babel, they wanted to reach up to God themselves rather than allowing God to reach down to them. So they wanted to be God in themselves, and God cursed it right away and separated their languages so they would all not understand one another and populate the rest of the world. Let us go further in the scriptures and see King Saul. King Saul was the first king of Israel, and he was chosen by his fellow Israelites. And they chose him because of his stature. He looked good. He was a very tall man, strong, able to lead the tribes. And so God allowed them to do that. But King Saul was a disobedient king. He only wanted to do what he wanted to do. He was prideful. He went in and said that he would handle things his own way without seeking God. But even when he sought God, he still did his own thing. And so God said, I will take the kingdom away from you, and I will give it to a servant of mine, King David, who has a heart like him. And so he takes the kingdom away from Saul and gives it to David. David sinned, and God punished him, as we read in 2 Samuel and in the Psalms. Many places we can go there and find David and what happened. But when David was confronted with his sin, as opposed to what happened with Saul, David repented, and he pleaded with God for mercy. Now you see what God is teaching us between the two kings. One is disobedient, and he goes his own way, seeks his own path, does his own thing. But David, even though he had sinned, immediately when he's confronted with that sin, he repents and asks for mercy, because he knows he sinned against God, and he repents and asks for mercy. Now, even though David repented, asked for mercy, God still had punishment for him. The son died. His other sons got into squabbles. They killed one another. They did all types of things. And it was a bloody mess in his kingdom after that time. Solomon came through, and Solomon became the king of Israel after that. So where am I going with all this? God teaches us in the scriptures that all mankind sins, either large or small sins. all mankind. And we read that again in Ecclesiastes last week. So none of us are free from sin. His punishments are different for each sinner and what they have done. Some punishments are severe, including death. Some are light. But God is the one who determines what punishment is. I want to give you an example from a practical application that I've been working on. At our house, we have stairs that go up to our front door. Two sets of stairs that go up. And these stairs were brand new about 20 years ago when they were built. But over 20 years, with the weather and everything going on, and the snow and the rain and the heat and everything else, those stairs have become dilapidated. And it was getting very dangerous for us to even go up the stairs anymore. The stringers that are underneath the steps themselves, were dry rotted, and they were falling apart underneath. Even though the steps, we could still walk on them and you could get up there safely and everything else, but still, they needed to be replaced. But I had been putting off the project for the last few years because it was going to cost quite a bit of money because it's made out of redwood, and redwood is very expensive. And so I finally got into it a couple weeks ago. And I started taking the steps apart. One of the things that happens when you're working with wood, especially, we find out that there's all types of wood. Some wood is completely damaged and dry rotted and just falls apart. Other pieces of wood have very deep scars, and sometimes you have to look at it and make a decision whether to save part of it or maybe replace it completely. But I found out that there's other pieces of wood that are in this that if you just planed it down, take the weather-beaten stuff off of it, and put it through the planer, you know, that wood comes almost like brand new. It's just gorgeous redwood under this dark and dirty, crusty surface. And so we look at this, and then you have to say, I have to make a decision on each piece of wood. And this is kind of what God is doing with our lives. Some of us have sinned greatly. Some of them just minor sin. Some of them need a little bit more cutting to get down to the bottom core and get relief of the sin in our lives. So when I started removing these pieces, I looked at them and I made these decisions as we went on. And now, some of the wood I replaced, some of them I had to maybe only have half a board left, but the others, I could just plane it and get it nice and clean and looking good again. And when I did that, every decision I made was depending on the wood that I was working with. That's how God does it with us in our lives. Each one of us has different sins, different things going on, different illnesses that we had like last week. We're all different, and God has to make a decision on each one. God does not throw his creation away. He sends a Savior that even if we're dry rotted, pouring through, all the way through, the whole wood is just damaged completely, he can create a new heart, a new soul for you, even though you've been that way. How do we know what sin is and what God calls sin or what man calls sin? has a decision to make here. Let's go back and find out what God says concerning sin. Let's start with the Ten Commandments. It's a good place to start. They're listed in two places, Exodus 20, 1 through 17, and also Deuteronomy 6 through 21. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, 6 through 21, I'm sorry. So Deuteronomy 5, 6 through 21, and let me read. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. All the gods in the world, all the gods that people have worshiped and sought are false gods. But the God, the Creator, the one who wrote the Ten Commandments, is the only true God, and we know who that is. You shall not make yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down or serve them, for I, the Lord, am your God, and am a jealous God. You know why he doesn't want us making an image of him? Because he's invisible. We cannot see him with our eyes. He is there, he's present. We know him with the Holy Spirit. But he cannot be formed as a man is formed because he is God. He is above creation, something greater than anything we can have in this world. He created all this, but yet he's above all this. So we cannot make an image of him. I'm going to skip to verse 11. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Many men and women have used God's name in vain. He says he will not forgive them for that because his name is sacred. In the Jewish faith, they do not even pronounce the name of God. In fact, when they write God, it's G-D. They don't put the O in there, so you can't pronounce God. Now, I don't think that's what God was saying in his name, because he tells us to call on the name of God. But we get into these problems with the way we look at things. And so we call upon the name of God, but we don't know his name in the vernacular that God wants us to know it. So we should not use his name in vain, like swearing, doing things of that nature. Don't swear in the name of God. 12, verse 12, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. This is always an interesting commandment because the seventh day of the week, we know the Sabbath is Saturday. But the Jews celebrate on Saturday, so do the Muslims. Worship from Friday night to Saturday night evening. But Christians, we worship on Sunday because of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we still have one day a week. This morning is Sunday. We spend that day in worshiping of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On verse 16, honor your father and mother. As the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that you may go well with you in the land that your Lord your God has given you. We should always honor our parents, no matter what. We may have had arguments with them, we may do this or that or whatever, they may get mad at us, we may get mad at them, but you always honor your mother and your father, no matter what, because without your mother and father, you would not be there, no matter what. You would not exist without your mother and father. So honor your father and your mother. 17, in verse 17, you shall not murder. 18, you shall not commit adultery. 19, and you shall not steal. 20, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. 21, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and several other things. And you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant or his female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Those are the basic Ten Commandments that God has laid down. We know if we go against any of those, we have sinned against God's commandments. One of the things that we need to do is think about that a little bit more. Have I honored my mother and father? Have I stolen something? Have I coveted my neighbor's goods? And if we have, we need to come back to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. The other laws that we can see, because once we had the Ten Commandments set, that was not enough for everyday living. So in Deuteronomy chapter 27, we see that he's laid down some other laws. Verses 15 through 26, Deuteronomy 27, 15 through 26. So we read here, cursed is the man who has carved or cast a metal image, an abomination to the Lord, a thing made by the hands of craftsmen, and sets up in secret, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. No carved images, remember, that's in the second commandment. Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father and mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who misleads a blind man on the road, and all the people shall say, Amen. That would be horrible. Lead somebody off a cliff if they can't see. Cursed be anyone who perverts justice to the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who lies with his father's wife because he's uncovered his father's nakedness, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who lies with any kind of animal, and all the people will say, Amen. Verse 22. Cursed be anyone who lies with his sister, or whether daughter of his father, or daughter of his mother, and the people shall say, Amen. 23. Cursed be anyone who lies with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. 24. Cursed be anyone who strikes down his neighbor in secret, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who takes a bribe, shed innocent blood, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them, and all the people shall say, Amen. So they're just giving you some basics. If you read further on within Deuteronomy and the rest of the first five books of Moses, you find out that Moses was continually speaking with God. He had attended the meeting there, and God would come meet with him face to face. And he would give him instructions that he would write down. And he wrote all these things down and took those and gave them to Joshua after he transferred the power of the leadership from himself to Joshua when he was prepared to die. We know that all these laws are in existence. Even today, the Jewish faith, they have 713 laws that they have to follow. A lot of them are from the ages in the past where they have to do the sacrifices. And since they have no temple, they have no sacrifices. So many of the laws are not followed anymore. But many of them are, such as the food laws and these types of things. Like, you can't eat meat and milk at the same time. because of one of the laws that they have. When I was in Israel, when we went up to the elevator, don't get in an elevator for the Sabbath. Because if you get in an elevator that's for the Sabbath, that means it's going to stop on every single floor going up and every single floor going down, because they would not allow you to push a button on an elevator, because that's working on Sunday or the Sabbath. So they get to be real minuscule, and it gets to be way too much. But Jesus had the answer to that one also, which we will cover. In the New Testament, there are three passages that give us understanding. Let's go to Ephesians 4, verses 25 through 32. Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. It reads from verse 25 to 32, Ephesians 4. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbors, for remembers of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corruption talk comes out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Well, that sounds a lot like the Ten Commandments, doesn't it? You look at those things and you kind of get an idea that God has transferred the things that he said before into the things for today. And so now he wants us to do the same thing. Stop getting angry at one another. Stop hating one another. But start loving each other. Start caring for one another. Do what is good in this life. Let's go to Colossians 3, 5, and 9. Colossians 3, 5, and 9. Colossians 3, 5 through 9. Put to death what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked, that you were living in them, but now you must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and the obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So you see here, there's an old life, and there's a new life, and we can see what God has done here. All these things are sinning against mankind and God himself. He wants us to be kind to one another. He wants us to do what is good and what's right. So do we know what God delights in? Let's go on the other side. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58. When I first read these verses many, many years ago, I said, wow, we've been going down the wrong road most of the time because we think that we have to do all these kind of things and whatever. But here's what God tells us in Isaiah 58. Because you'll see a contrast here into what we think is good and what God thinks is good. Okay, so the first one, verses 6 through 8. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Wow. That's doing things for other people. That's compassion. That's what we need more in Christianity also. We need to start loving one another and caring for one another. That's what is truly on God's heart. Isaiah 58, 9 through 11 finishes it out. 9 through 11. This is amazing when he says this. Listen to these words. Verse 9. Then you shall call upon the Lord, call, and the Lord will answer. You want answers to your prayers? Start doing what is important to God. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from the midst, and the point of the finger, and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry, and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom as in the new day. Verse 11, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desires in scorched places, and make your bones strong, and shall be like a water garden, like the spring of water, whose waters do not fail. What a blessing. And all we have to do is be kind to one another, our fellow people in this world. Do what's right and what's good. There's so much evil in this world. We look at the news and we see the hatred and all the stuff that is going on. That comes from the flesh. It doesn't come from God. God wants to be kind to one another, loving to one another, caring for one another. That's where God wants us to do. So what does God want us to do with our sins? First, recognize that we have sinned. When you've done something wrong, recognize it. Oh yeah, I shouldn't have done that. And I shouldn't have done it to so-and-so or whatever. Recognize it. Second, he asks you to repent. Repent of those sins. Say that you will not do it again. That's what repentance means. Don't do it again. Third, be reconciled to God and to your fellow man. We find this throughout the New Testament, that we're to confront one another, and we're asked to forgive one another for the sins that we've committed to them. As we saw in Isaiah, when we come back to God and do what's right, God will hear us. God will listen to our prayers. Fourth, we are to be restored. Restored to the place that God wants us to be. To that place where we are loving kindness again. We need to examine ourselves and see if there's anything that is preventing us from staying close to God. Do we do enough internal praying and thinking about our own lives. Shall I do this? Shall I do that? Shall I stop this? Shall I stop that? Where should I go? What should I do? Examine yourselves to see what is in there. Is there someone that has offended you? Many people can offend you in the things that you're doing or saying or whatever. Is there someone in your life that you have offended? It goes both ways. Maybe we're the ones that are offending somebody else. Take a thought about that and see. Have you been the cause of gossip? Have people been gossiping about you? On YouTube, continuously, and TikTok, and all these things going on, I mean, everybody is just hitting on everybody when we listen to those things. Jeez, sometimes you just have to turn the thing off and say, I don't want to listen to it anymore. That's enough of that kind of stuff. Are there any other things that you can think of in your life that maybe you could change, maybe you could turn around, maybe you could go a different direction? Think about those things and pray about them. See how the Lord wants to lead you. After we have recognized and repented, reconciled, and been restored to what we, then what do we do? Put on the new self. Let's go to Colossians again. Colossians 3. Verses 12 through 17. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. So after we've admitted our sins and reconciled and everything is good, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive all, and above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in our hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, or do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, to God the Father through Him. Wow, can we just do that more often? Aren't those beautiful words? There's nothing evil in those words that I just read, is there? There's only good. God only calls us to do good and what's righteous. It's amazing how if we just study the word more and we put into practice what we've read and understood, how much better off we would be. We think of that more often. Sin can creep in so easily. And all of a sudden you're doing something and you get aggravated by this thing or that thing, and all of a sudden you're angry or something else happens, and all of a sudden you forget what you've just learned. And you have to come back to what God said. Again, when you look at, as God's chosen one, God has chosen us, this is verse 12, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Man, just take a moment to think about that, how we can be to one another. To love one another. Let's go to Galatians 5:22. And Everybody knows this. We've said it so many times, but I think it bears repeating. Galatians 5, 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And here's the kicker. Against such things there is no law. Wow! Can you imagine that? There's no law against loving somebody. There's no law against bringing joy to somebody. About peace. There's no law against having peace. All these things in 522, there's no law against it. You can do all you want with these seven or nine fruits of the Spirit. You can practice every single one of them. And there's nothing to say you can't do it. Let's just practice that more often if we can. Let me try to finish up here a little bit, because we are right at that hour. As we go through this life, we need to recognize that we are fallen. Creators, fallen creatures, but God is the restorer of our lives. One of my favorite verses that I have is Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. So Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. This verse helped me to understand that I'm not the one holding on to God, but God is holding on to us. You have to understand the anchor, and the rope and the analogies here. Verse Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place beyond the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You have to get the picture there. This is the anchor of our soul. The anchor is in us. And Jesus Christ is the one pulling the rope and pulling us back into the boat. He's in the temple here, it says. And in the temple, you could not go beyond the curtain. But Jesus Christ went beyond the curtain. And he's pulling the souls of his believers into the Holy of Holies. And this is where we are going. When you start reading the scriptures, you start falling in love with God over and over again. Just in conclusion, I just wanted to finish and say, just as I was talking about the wood on the staircase, was in disrepair, so are some of our lives. Do we need deep repair or major work? Jesus can do it. Do we need planing a new surface that has gotten weathered? Jesus can do it. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's how we can finish it. Lord, help us to come back to you and get that rest that you promised us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we've had together to be as believers in you and your Son and the Holy Spirit guiding us. Lord, we just bow down before you, give you all the praise and glory. Lord, teach us to live our lives as you have prescribed them for us. Let us be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another for all the things that we may have done wrong. And Lord, that reconciliation that we need is the reconciliation with you. And you provided that reconciliation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for sending him to die on the cross for our sins, that we may be sons of God, as you claim throughout your word. Thank you for this day, and let us go in peace and loving kindness that you have provided for us.
Thank you, Dave. Let's stand for a closing song.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God, and I will see how great, is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The God of three in one, Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb, Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And I will see how great. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God.
Name of all names.
You're the name above all names. You are worthy.
Thank you so much. We love you and we need you, and we look forward to your blessings on this week coming up. And again, please take care of the sick in our church, those who are not feeling well. and bring them back home. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.